Won't you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, we worship you as the lover of our souls this morning. God, you've given us so many good things. And this morning I'm particularly thankful for the gift of music that you've given us. Thank you for the way that it causes a stirring in our hearts that really nothing else can when you're working through that. Thank you, God, for the gifts that you've given to our music team and for giving them the willingness to share those gifts with this body. God, I'm just so thankful for that. And Father, I thank you also for my brother Chris. I thank you also for his willingness to share this morning what you have put on his heart. Lord, I thank you for working in him to cause him to pursue you relentlessly, as I believe he does. Lord, you have been speaking with us this morning through song, and you have allowed us to speak to you through the songs that we've been singing. God, I ask that you would grant to us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to us. Would you grant to us, Lord, hearts that will receive your word? And Father, I pray for Chris this morning as he speaks. I pray, Lord, for him that he would just have great calm as he speaks. I pray that you would give him words. I pray that you would restrain him from using words if that's not what you want. But God, above all things, may he be an instrument in your hands. May he speak for your glory this morning. And may we receive it for your glory, Lord. God, we love you and we want to worship you. We ask that you would empower us to do that as we listen to your word this morning. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, family. Yesterday, an individual expressed a little concern that there wouldn't be enough assistance, enough worship team up here to really do the job done. Don't you go away. I'm talking about you. He was concerned. I'll tell you what, this was some of the most moving and beautiful music I've heard in a long time. So thank you. Now, we got one other thing before I start to really speak. We've got a couple here today that I think probably holds the record for the longest drive to get here for a Sunday morning. Bill and Bobby Trankman have come all the way from Romania. Would you two stand up? These folks graciously allow us to assist in a financial way as they minister to youth in Romania. I admire what they do just as I admire what Tony and Heather do. Thank you. All right. Karen and I have been through a few problems. Past 15 months, we've had our valleys. And they've been pretty dark. And I know some of you have equally suffered with illness, with injury, with loss. I've been praying to God for months and months and months to give me the words to tell you how... See, I still don't have the words. What he's doing within me, what he's doing within us, how he's sustaining us. So in my struggles, he finally brought me to 1 John 4:16. And it'll just be that single verse for now. See, I cheated. I've got all my passages bookmarked. Except for this one. All right, so 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That sounds really, really simple. Of course, we love God, God loves us. We've been singing about that all this morning. Back in my day, a long time ago, love was something that was free. We talked about free love. We talked about this. You got to love one another. The word began to lose a little bit of meaning. Today, we love our cars. We love our pets. We love our house. We love the grass. We love the flowers. We've abused that word to the point that it's really lost a lot of its meaning. It's lost a lot of its emphasis. If you're going to talk about God, can you use the same word that you've used to describe your love for your puppy or your favorite whatever? It just doesn't work. So I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, if you'd like to open your Bibles there. We all know this is the love chapter. We see it on the little wedding deals that the announcements and all this kind of stuff we get, and it's plastered all over the place. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So in my desire to communicate what God has been doing in us, I moved a word. I got rid of the word love and put God in there. So God is patient and kind. God is not jealous, doesn't envy or boast. God is not arrogant or rude. He doesn't insist on his own way. He is not provoked or irritable or resentful. He doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The love of God never ends. So God is patient. Patient, some of your Bibles translate as long-suffering, which in the Greek it is long-suffering. Think about it. Now, I know because you folks are a lot different than I, that you don't stumble as I do. You don't fall backwards as I do. But God is still with me, even when I stumble, even when I make a mistake. That doesn't change His love for me. He's still there with me. He's still there loving me, just as He loves each one of you. But that also means when that guy cuts you off on the highway, God loves him too. Do you? It's kind of hard, isn't it? His name is El Olam. And that comes from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 3. It means everlasting God. That means that He is eternal. That means that He will bear with us. He will stand beside us. He'll be patient with us. There's potato chips down here. Larry, I don't think it's my voice. I think it's this machine. Oh, that's good. Would you shut it off entirely? Other than the crackle. I like that. You know, we're talking about love, Larry. How about if I just use a handheld mic? If we choose to ignore His embrace, if we choose to turn from Him, Romans 1:21 tells us, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their own thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." I have seen in this church, this body of believers, I've seen in your eyes and your faces, this is quite the opposite. I see a new heart, and I am experiencing Christ's love through this church, and I thank you for that. God is kind. Oh boy, anybody want to argue with that one? No, there's really no way to do it. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So while we were living our life the way we wanted, God still loved us. And then He sent His Son to die for us. What kind of love is that? His name is Elohim. You'll find that in Genesis 1:1, 17:7, and Jeremiah 31:33. It means Creator, mighty and strong, who offers life to all those who need it. Now, this isn't life as we see out there, people walking around talking to each other. This is life in here. So it's even more. We can have this, but we have to be willing to surrender. And that sounds like such a big deal. But what are we surrendering? You know, when those valleys come, whether it's here today or tomorrow or a year from now, but when they come, where are you going to turn to? Okay, God is not jealous. In other words, He doesn't envy. The word in there, kana, also means beyond envy. It also means zealous. But in this case, Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Well, if love isn't jealous, how does that compute? How does that work? He's jealous for us, as we sang today. He's not jealous of us. It's the same as if your child starts to run into the street or run out there on Highway 12. You're going to try to stop him. You're jealous for his life. You're jealous for his health. God is jealous for our health, for our life. We don't need the rest, but we have Him. His name is Jehovah Kana. It occurs only 5 times in the Old Testament. He's zealous for the very best that you can have. His name is also Jehovah Shalom. Most of us know what Shalom means. It means peace. He is the God who will bring us this peace. When you're going through that valley, don't try to go it alone. If it gets dark, it doesn't have to stay that way. God is our peace. He'll take us through it. He'll walk us through it. Sometimes it's a long process. For us, it's been a long process. That's okay, because we're learning from it too. We're being strengthened by it. God does not boast. What's He got to boast about?
He's the creator of all things. Everything He does is perfect. Is He to be praised because of His perfection? Does He get glory? Is that the reason we were created, to bring glory to Him? Or is that glory there because He is perfect? All He does is perfect. And we can rely on that perfection. For me, I'm relying on His perfection. That's what's carrying me through all of this. Philippians 2:8 says, after being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's for you and me. Now, if He did that, it's not just for the salvation. We're on Friday nights. One of the things our small group is going through is it's not just the words, not just the salvation. It's got to be more than that. You've got a whole life between the time you're saved and then when you go on to God's reward. What are you going to do in it? How are you going to make it through those valleys? He's with us. They don't have to be graves. They're valleys. They have an opening. They have an end. And no matter how dark it is, His light is greater. His name is Jehovah Nissi. That's found in Exodus 17:15. He's the leader who we follow. He's the leader who we will, as He deems, fight for. He doesn't require our praises, folks. He deserves them. Just by His love. So God is not arrogant, which is puffed up, or rude, which is behaved disgracefully. This one I had a lot of difficulty with. But then I went to Job. So if you'll turn with me to Job 1:6 through 12. And actually, if I'm going to hold, I can't hold four sheets of paper, so I'll just hold this one if you don't mind. I'd like to tell you I've committed this to memory, but God doesn't like liars either, so I won't tell you that. So Job 1:6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. Isn't that nice company? The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." Now, stop there for just a second. Can't you just see our accuser, because that's what Satan is. He's our accuser. Can't you just see him standing there to God? And, you know, have you looked at those people? They don't regard you as anything. They talk about it, but they don't really practice. You know, why don't you just erase them? Why don't you just step on them and start over again? I'll take them. Yeah. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Ugh." And that's Hebrew for "Ugh." "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands." Imagine that. "You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. But God didn't give Job over to Satan. Satan was tormented. We know that. Or not Satan, but Job was tormented. He was hurt. But he still had God, his best supporters. His wife. Not my wife. His wife. "Curse God and die. Thank you very much." That's not what we need. That's not what we need. We're a family. God's making us a family to support one another. God's name in this case is El Roi, God of seeing. This comes from Genesis 16:13, when Hagar was sent away by Sarah, and she was obviously kind of depressed. She sent out, go away, no means of support, no car, no way to get anywhere. She's got this little child tagging along with her. But then she meets God face to face, and even there, he hears her cry. Now think about it. This is a woman that is not part of the Jewish culture. She's a handmaiden. Yet God hears her. God hears your prayers. I don't care if it's for a hangnail. I don't care if it's for a distant relative, for a pet, for a parent. God hears your prayer because he loves you. He numbers, well, some of us make it pretty easy, but he numbers a hair on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls. What a deal. What a God. Imagine that love. God does not seek the things of himself. There's another easy one. Not at all. Mark 9:35 says, and he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them that if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. This is God the Creator. This is the one who created all things, who is in command of all things. Yet he's still a servant. We're to model ourselves after him. That means that we put the needs of others first. Paul talks about that constantly. You know, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to help out at the church. I just want to attend and go home. Somebody here needs your help. Some of us need more help than others. But that's what we're here for. We're here to help one another, to build one another up, not to put each other down, not to pick at each other, not to complain about the way someone acts or looks. To a certain extent, not even the way they believe. If they are from a different faith, do we love them any less? Ooh, nobody's going to answer that. Are you chicken? If they're from a different faith, do we love them less? No. Why would we? Does God love us any less when we set up an idol? Maybe it's a new car. It's never a motorcycle. Joe and I are both very familiar with that. We ride pretty much the same kind of bikes, and we know they're not an object of worship. They're an object of adoration. That's not right. Forgive me. Lord, please forgive me for that. His name is Jehovah Rohi, or Ra'ah. He is the Lord, our shepherd. It means he sees to our needs. That means that even when we're doing something dumb, he sees to our needs. We've got a bunch of lambs out in our pasture right now. We've got a couple that we selected that we're going to hold on to because we need to build the stock because the old ones are doing what old ones do. They die. I think we picked the dumb ones. We try to cross them from one pasture to another, and invariably these three will get behind the gate. And they'll sit there and holler because they can't figure out to go around the gate and come into the other pasture. So what do you think God thinks of us when we're standing on the wrong side of the gate? And you say, no, no, come around there. I'm glad I'm not in God's position. Yes, box of rocks, that's right. I didn't hear that one, but I'm glad I didn't. No, the sheep do. Love is not provoked. Ooh. When was the last time you were provoked? How about even driving down here? Matthew 26, 51 through 53. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels?" Think about that. Okay, first off, Jesus has the right, because he is God. He could wipe them out. But he could appeal to the Father. You can appeal to the Father. Now, of course, we know that in this case, God would get his 24 elders together and they deliberate and they think about it and they talk about it and then they think about it some more. And then they'd shelve it for the next meeting and then they'd think about it. He said at once he'd send 12 legions. Send enough and then some to cover the needs. But it wasn't the right time. It's not the time for conflict, and we'll have that. You might have somebody that is a burr under your saddle. Confront them in love if you're led to, but make sure that you're led to. Let God do the talking. His name is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Mighty One of Jacob. You'll find that in Genesis 49:24. And Psalm 132, verses 2 and 5. This speaks to God's power overall, not your power, not my power. If you've got God, relax. You don't need anything else. He'll take care of those who attempt to harm you, to turn you from Him. God does not keep a record of wrongs. All right. What's the Old Testament? Look at all of the wrongs done in there. Book of Judges. Just going through it quickly. I counted 8 times when Israel repented. 8 times God forgave. And then 8 more times where Israel messed up again. So we've had people say, well, the Old Testament, that book is the God of blood and conflict, and the New Testament, well, that's the God of love and forgiveness. I think it's the same God. If you look at the Old Testament, look at it in a different light. Look at it in your own life. You've blown it, God's forgiven. You've blown it, God's forgiven. You've blown it, God's forgiven. 70 times 7, does that ring a bell to anybody? Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Sounds like a record, but it's not. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God doesn't keep a record of wrongs. We do. We keep a record of wrongs done to us. And there's a whole heap of people that keep a record of the wrongs that they've done. They don't let them go. This is called unforgiveness. That doesn't have a place in here. Now, sometimes when we're bit, we bite back. Sometimes when we're barked at, we bark back. Seek forgiveness. I pray that if I've offended any of you, that I've also sought forgiveness. But if I didn't know I offended you, then how am I to seek forgiveness? Let me know. Just as I'll let you know. And I pray that I'm not going to be the one that when you bite me, I'll bite back. I'm learning, but slow learner. His name is Jehovah Nissa. That comes out of Psalm 99:8. It means God forgives. If God can forgive, what right have we got to hold on to it? God does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Romans 2:13 says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." And in Mark 12:30 and 31, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: you'll love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Is that a change to the Ten Commandments, to the laws that were given to the Israelites? No. No, it's just putting love in action. We don't need the boundaries, the barricades set up all around us in the form of laws when we have the example of Jesus Christ. And the example of some of those folks, even within this body, who exhibit more love, more forgiveness, than I can put my arms around. We have sought forgiveness from those as a church who we've harmed. They have given us that forgiveness. What kind of love is that? I'd really love to talk about that, but I won't. Because then I get all misty and it's really embarrassing. You know, guys don't cry. All right. His name is Jehovah Mekadesh. Try that one real fast. That's the Lord who sanctifies, who makes holy. That's found in Leviticus 28 and Ezekiel 37:28. It's not the law that's going to get us by. It's not the law that's going to set us free. It's His love, His grace. God bears all things. Boy, howdy. He bears when we're obstinate, when we're sad, when we're happy. Isaiah 46:4. "Even to your old age, I am He, and to gray hairs I will carry you." Why does the Bible have such an emphasis on hair? I'm beginning to get this complex of God's trying to tell me something. "And to your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and I will carry, and will save." And Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation." His name is Jehovah Sabaoth, God who bears our burdens. It's just a little thing. I don't really want to take it to God. You know, He's busy doing all that important stuff. Take it to God. The littlest things, the tiniest things. Bring it all to Him. As a child brings their hurts, their pains, their worries, inconsequential, maybe, but not to them. As they bring that to you, take those same things to God. He loves you. He loves you that much. Love, God believes all things. Numbers 14:19 says, Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. This one kind of strikes me funny a little bit, because this is Moses talking. God believes us. Now, does that mean he believes us when we're talking about the fact that we're never going to do it again? We're never going to go wrong again. We won't make that same mistake again. I think he believes that we want to believe that we won't make that mistake again. But he loves us. Plain and simple fact is that he's not going to let us go. He is willing to believe us, to stretch out his arms, to hold us. His name is Jehovah Aman. He is the God who believes. Even more, he's the God who has faith in us. If he has faith in us, is your faith there also? Is your faith in yourself? Can you do it with Christ's help? Can you do it with God? Of course you can. Because we know that all things are possible. Stay in his will. God hopes all things. If you want to turn to Acts 17:24, I'd appreciate it. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually far from each one of us. That last line hits me, because we're told to not trust our heart because it's desperately wicked. And the feelings are always bad. Don't go with your feelings. Yet, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, you better feel his power working within you. Or you better acknowledge it, because it's there. Feel his nudges. Feel his leading. If you're going through a valley, you got a choice. You can bear it on your own. You can get bummed out. You can get pulled down. As the stress builds up, you can have neat things develop, like high blood pressure and all the rest of this kind of stuff that keeps life fun. Or you can choose to believe God. Trust him. It took me a real, real long time to learn that. I got some very serious blood pressure problems because I didn't find Christ soon enough for me. So I blew it, and I worried about everything. This past 15 months or so probably would have put me in the grave, because I would have stressed enough to have my stroke or my heart attack, whichever one wanted to take me. But God is with us. God is with you. But you have to choose to trust. You know, maybe I should leave these glasses on. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Wow. That's Exodus 15:26. I am Jehovah who heals you, both in body and soul. The body from sickness, the soul, your spirit, to bring you up out of that miry pit. He heals you. He heals me. So are you praying for healing? Are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to let God work within you. He may take some things away, but it's okay. Because what He's got to replace it will help you bear up underneath that load. So I was going to leave these on. I listen to God better than I listen to myself. Love endures, or God endures all things. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Actually, that's the whole Psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. David wrote it to his generation, but it comes to ours too. His love endures forever. That which we've been talking about goes throughout eternity. It's not limited by our moods, what we think about, what we see, what we desire. God's love endures forever, and His faithfulness to us is eternal. He's not going to turn His back on you. When it gets rough, He's not going to say, boy, that was your decision. You really blow it. It may be that you're absorbing the consequences of what you've done. He's not going to remove all of those from us. As you sow your wild oats, sometimes you've got to take those for your harvest. But He is a forgiving God. There's nothing that any one of us can do. There's not a one of us that are so bad that God won't forgive. But you have to ask. That little caveat. His name is Jehovah Ahmad, the God who takes our stand. He will stand with us. He'll stand by us. He'll even stand for us. But we have to be willing to embrace Him. Not try to do it on our own. Not try to do it under our own understanding, because that just doesn't work. Trust in the Lord. God's love never fails. All creation is going to come to an end. We know that. If you read the book, you got a pretty good idea that that's going to happen. But His love, His kindness, His concern for each one of us endures. And He will bring us into His family. Remember, it's a choice. It's a choice to be stressed out. It's a choice to be angry. It's not a natural thing. It's not something we have to do. It's something we need to let go of. Choose to follow God. Choose to love as He's loved you. God's name here is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, because He is eternal. One last one. If you'll turn with me to Philippians 4, well, chapter 4 first. I have now learned the meaning of right hand knowing, not knowing what the left hand's doing. I'm trying to change. No, left hand. It's not Philemon. It's Philippians. starting with verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Remember that choice we've got. Don't hold on to it. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What are you going to be thankful for? How about the ability to come to God and thank Him, trust Him? And this is the one that all of us miss, or many of us miss. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? That means when you're driving down the road at 55 miles an hour in a completely blinding fog, and your partner is saying, okay, the GPS says turn left up here very shortly, and you realize that GPS are off and off by 15 feet, and you're on a road that is only about 20 feet wide. God will give you the grace to get you through. God will give you the grace to get you through from salvation to death and resurrection. It is not just saying the words. It's living the life. We don't often have altar calls. Altars are always open. Everybody in here should know that. One of the reasons that I don't think we have altar calls is because you folks are our altar call. People see you, and they see Christ in you. And they want to be like that. They want to have that. If any of you want to have that, if any of you feel that you need to recommit, the altars are open. Come up during the song. Those of you who don't feel that need, look around in here. These are your brothers and your sisters. This is your family, your eternal family. Don't let them be up here alone. Don't let somebody else, well, I'll let them pray for them. You don't have to pray out loud. God knows your heart. Just join them. Touch them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Let them know that you love them. For years now, I've stood up here and said, good morning, family. I don't know how more I could say it. You are my family. I love each and every one of you. I will pray and do pray for each and every one of you, even when you kick me in the shins or bark at me or bite me. It doesn't make any difference. I ask the same from you for each one of us. Heavenly Father, I prayed that you would give me the words to say. I pray they were your words. I pray that it brings more light into this dark world. Father, I pray that as each one of us face difficulties, as we face hardships, we'll face you. And that will completely, completely lift us up. Father, we go through things. We have to go through things, but you are with us. You bear our burdens. Help us to realize that through every moment of the day, but help us to realize that just as you love us, we're to love others. We're to love our neighbors. We're to love our church family. I praise you. I praise you for this changing heart. I praise you for this new face. Guide us. Strengthen us in you. In Jesus' name.